Hey, you want that to go?
This is The Takeaway. I'm Luke Burbank, in for John Hockenberry. We've got some takeouts for you in a moment. First, though, let's take a painful trip into my youth. Remember this sound? TV static. We had the TV that you needed the pliers to change the channel on, and the janky reception, and always with the rabbit ears and the tin foil, trying to see if you could get Heathcliff to come in on the TV channel. Well, it turns out that the rabbit ears are kind of making a comeback. David Sarno is a technology reporter for the LA Times, covers the business of internet culture and new media. Welcome, David.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So are rabbit ears actually coming back?
Yeah, it looks like it's becoming an increasingly attractive option for people that want to save money on a monthly cable bill. Instead of paying $80 a month, you can just sort of buy a rabbit ears for a dollar at the, or 99 cents at the 99 cent store and hook it into your TV. And, you know, you nowadays you have almost three times as many channels available as you did before this digital switchover that the government mandated. So it's, in LA, at least, it's up to about 75 or 80 channels, whereas before it was 25 or so.
This totally happened at my my girlfriend's family's house down there. They got rabbit ears, and suddenly they had more channels than ever before, and things were unfuzzy. How does that work with the digital? And aren't we talking about two technologies, digital and analog?
Yeah, it's just sort of an update of technology so that if you change all the broadcasting and receiving equipment so that it uses a digital signal, it's not as subject to the kinds of interference that the old-fashioned analog signal was. And the thing that I found the most surprising was that a lot of these stations are broadcasting their programming in high definition. So if you have a big high-def TV and you're used to watching The Tonight Show on cable in high def, you can run a test where you also plug in rabbit ears to your high-def TV and watch the same show, watch The Tonight Show in high def over the antenna, and you dollars to donuts, you'll be surprised at how clear the signal is over the antenna. It's actually better than cable.
Wow. David Sarno, technology reporter for the LA Times. Thank you very much.
Now to our sports takeout with Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen. New year, new decade. Ibrahim's been giving us his picks for the top sports stories of the decade. Ibrahim, we're talking about today about a man who you think very possibly could be the most influential sports figure of the decade, and it's not an athlete.
Yeah, it's a coach, actually, Tony Dungy, who retired in January 2009 as the head coach of the Indianapolis Colts. Let's hear from him.
I wouldn't trade these 31 years in for anything. I wouldn't trade these seven that I've had here. This has been very, very special.
Coaches don't generally get a lot of love on these top 10 lists. Why Tony Dungy?
The reason why I chose Tony Dungy is because he's an African-American head coach. He was the first NFL head coach to win a Super Bowl. And in a league that's 70% African-Americans.
Players, correct.
In his time with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, in his time with the Indianapolis Colts, he's had an amazing winning percentage. And specifically, in the 2000s, he has had a better winning percentage than the legendary Bill Belichick, who's the coach of the New England Patriots. Mm. But that's not the all of it about his legacy, because the key thing is Dungy's coaching tree. And if you look at the beginning of the 2000s, there were two black head coaches in the NFL. Now remember, 70% of the players are African American, with only two black head coaches. Now there's seven black head coaches in the NFL.
Wait, how many teams in the NFL?
28?
I believe that's the number. Yeah, 32 maybe.
Somewhere between 28 and 32.
Seven doesn't seem like a large ratio.
It's not a good ratio.
But it's better than it was.
It is
okay.
Better.
All right.
Here's
I'll
a real question
glass
about Dungy,
full.
Though.
Wait.
Would he have started, would he have let Peyton Manning keep playing and preserve the undefeated season?
All right.
He had that choice. So real quick, the people that coached under him, Lovie Smith, who took the Bears to the Super Bowl, Mike Tomlin, who won the Super Bowl with the Steelers, Jim Caldwell, who's an assistant under Dungy, who now is 14-1 with the Colts, and he has the best record for a rookie coach head coaching in the NFL.
So influential in his mentees. Anything else going on today?
Well, obviously, it's your birthday today.
It's my birthday.
That's why you were hustling me along.
This is an amazing thing because you share a birthday with some legendary sports figures. We have, of course, LeBron James.
Okay, the superstar. Nice.
There we go. The great Dodger pitcher, Sandy Koufax.
Oh, Sandy Koufax. That's awesome.
Isn't that great?
Yeah, that's cool.
And then, obviously, you share it with none other than Tiger Woods.
Oh, not so great.
Well, I'm guessing your birthday would be somewhat more happy than Tiger's.
I don't think he has a lot of chance of having his wife bake him a cake, is all I'm saying. Thanks so much.
We'll bake you a cake.
Takeaway sports contributor, Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen. I don't like chocolate.
That's the beauty part of sharing a birthday with Tiger Woods. You are going to always be having a better birthday than at least one person. All right, our last takeout, we actually turn it over to you, the listeners. Yesterday, we talked with a chemistry professor to learn more about this chemical that they tried to use in this bombing called PETN. Carla said in her email, "Why the heck are you broadcasting how to make an effective bomb for use on an air flight and informing listeners where to get PETN and how much more effective it is with a detonator, which is small enough to get through security? You are not providing a public service with this."
Carla, we absolutely appreciate your criticism, but we're going to have to differ with you here. Actually, all of the information that you got over the takeaway about PETN is extremely accessible. In fact, it'll be one of the first things that comes up if you Google PETNs, but we do take your concerns very seriously.
And from bombing scares to the flu scares, we talked about how 2009 was the year of a swine flu, that pandemic that kind of never materialized. Here was one listener's takeaway.
This is Paul from Short Hills, New Jersey, and I'm wondering why we don't have better technology than creating a virus in a chicken egg. This seems like in this day and age, with the advances in pharmaceutical research, we could come up with some way for a computer to create something and manufacture it en masse.
We're always listening here at The Takeaway. Tell us your take by calling 877-8-MY-TAKE or send us an email at mytake@thetakeaway.org.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.